James chapter 2. Let me read it from, been reading it from the New Century Version. I like that version in this. Maybe we'll read it in the King James tonight. How about that? Let's do that. Well, let me read it from the New Century. It says, starting in verse 14, my brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. If something's worth nothing, what does that mean? Does that mean it's worth a little bit? Maybe a penny? What is nothing? No value. That means zero, right? That means it has no value, or you could say it's faithless, right? When Jesus talked about people in his ministry, he said, you're faithless. That means it's worth nothing. So that's not good, is it? So how does someone have faith that's worth nothing? Let's look at it the other way. How does somebody have worthless faith? Tells you.
Doing nothing.
Hearing and then seeing something and then doing nothing with it. That means going to meeting after meeting after meeting, excited about good revelation, and then doing what? Nothing. That's what that means. So we should get something from that and then determine in our hearts that we're going to do something with it. Do something with what we learn. And we're all learning to do that. Can faith like that save them? No. So that's how many people have said, well, you know, I'm going to get a little better and then I'll ask Jesus into my heart. So they believe that Jesus is the Christ, but they think they're going to get a little bit better, so they do nothing, so their faith is worth nothing. Meaning what? They can't get saved. Right? That's what that means. A brother or sister in Christ might need clothes or food. If you say to that person, God be with you, I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat, but you do not give what that person needs, your words are worth nothing. In the same way, faith that is alone, that does nothing, is dead. You know, I just saw something here. I didn't really think about this before, but in verse 16 it says, if you say to that person, God be with you, I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat, but you do not give what that person needs, your words are worth nothing. And I just thought of something. That's why it's important to not be quick to speak something. Because if you're going to speak, God be with you, be warm, blah, 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 and you had no intention of doing something, then your faith is worth nothing. It's just words. So that's why it's important to do what? Seek God first. What should I do? And then release my words. Because if you're not sure, then you ought not to do what? Say anything. Don't say anything. Does that make sense to anybody? Don't be quick to say, I'm going to help you. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Maybe you should, and maybe you shouldn't. So verse 17, I'm going to say it again. In the same way, faith that is alone, that does nothing, is dead. Someone might say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God, good, but the demons believe that too, and they tremble with fear. You foolish person, must you be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing? Let's say that. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. So we could say faith that does something gets results. So if faith does something, then we can expect to get something. If it's the God kind of faith, and we don't get weary in due season, we can expect results. We can expect to get what we believe. That's what Mark 11:23 says, 22 and 23, when the disciples said to Jesus, "Look, Master, look at the tree you cursed." He said, "Have the faith of God." And then he began to say, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain." So we see here, faith is associated with saying. "Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." So we can see that faith and doubt are opposite. So in other words, if you have faith, then you're not supposed to doubt in your heart, but do what? Believe that the things that you're saying shall come to pass. If you do that, it concludes with saying, you shall have whatsoever you say. So that ought to give us a clue right there that the God kind of faith is believing in your heart and saying what you believe. So if you're saying something different than what you believe, then that means you're doubting in your heart. You don't believe what you say. That's what that means. And so what we can do, and faith is what? In other words, where does one believe? In your heart. So believing is not from your head. So a lot of people go, "I gotta believe." Okay, believing is not in your heart. So if believing is not in your heart, then it's mental assent, meaning I believe that because somebody else did it, or I believe that, but it's not heart faith. Heart faith, believing is of the heart, and that will get the results. If it comes from the heart and you believe the things that you say. Now that may mean, what does that also mean? That means that if I'm believing in my heart, my head could be thinking something else, couldn't it? We've all been there. Your mind is saying one thing, but your heart is saying something else. My heart believes something, but my head is saying, that's crazy. That makes no sense. You will never have that. You will never get that. And my heart says, yes, I will. Why can I say, yes, I will? Because if God's word promised it, or he said something to me that I'm giving that to you, that's yours, just like he said to the Israelites, go into the promised land, I've given it to you. And they came back with what? They spoke something that was an evil report. So they said something that was contrary to what God said. They began to do what? Observe and look and weigh and consider what they saw. So their mind said, "This we can't take this." But God said, it's yours. So you had Caleb and Joshua who were filled with faith. They took God's word at his word and said, let's go do it. God will give us this land. He will work through us. He will protect us. He will give us the land. And so we ought to have that same when God speaks something to us, or we see something in his word, then we can take that. Now, I like what Brother Hagin says and others, his son, Kenneth Hagin, or Pastor Hagin. Brother Hagin would say this, if you're not ready to release words of faith to speak something in faith, then don't release those words. Wait on the Lord. Meditate on that. Meditate in the scriptures until faith is stirred in your heart. Then release those words of faith and hold on to it. Because when you do that, you will see the results. It will change. Has to change. Because faith will change things. What do we see? It says, if you believe and doubt not in your heart and believe the things that you say will come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So faith, dead faith produces no results, but real faith does something and gets results. Real faith that does something always gets results. And I was sharing on Sunday, and there's another scripture verse that I didn't share on Sunday, but let's go over here, as I wanted to add that to Sunday, is Romans chapter 8. And look at another scripture verse. I had pointed out Hebrews chapter 2, but look at also Romans chapter 8. Fear makes you subject to bondage. So if you're in fear, you are subject to that which you fear. You're in bondage to it. Faith will make you free. The truth of God's word will make you free. The word of faith will make you free. And I made this statement here. Faith makes you immune to the curse. And I like this, just the dictionary definition. Immune means having special protection from something. When you're immune from something, you have special protection from it. Or it, whatever that is, it's not capable of being affected by a disease or not influenced. So faith will make you immune. But look at chapter 8 and verse 15 in Romans, verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's me. In verse 15, for you have not received what? The spirit of bondage again to what? To fear. So when you fear, you're in bondage. And of course, we know 1 Timothy says, we've not received what? Spirit of fear, 2 Timothy, but we've not received the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We have a sound mind. We have a spirit of love. And we don't have a spirit of bondage or a spirit of fear. So this evening, I wanted to take a little bit of time and just look at, expand on this a little bit. And let's look at, I'm going to look at verse 18 just for a minute in James chapter 2. 18 and 19, I want to go back and look at that again in the King James. But you can see here in verse 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 and 22, there's a contrast between faith and works. In verse 18 it says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee what? My faith by my works. So you can continue down. You look at verse 20, it says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So there's this contrast between faith and works. When you look at this, works here does not mean all kinds of works. So what kind of works is he talking about? Because the Bible talks about the works of the devil. We have the works, the wonderful works of God. We have the works of the flesh. What kind of works is he talking about here? So what you don't see, and if you look at this, if you go over and throughout the book of Romans, it talks about the works of the law. But if you'll notice here in James, he doesn't talk about that. He talks about he doesn't talk about the works of the law. So what kind of works is he talking about? There you go. Who said that? Somebody said it. Say it again. Faith. He's talking about the works of faith. He's not talking about the works of the law here. So he's talking about what? Acts, deeds of faith, not the law. He's talking about acts of faith. So you can see this here. So living faith acts. See? So let's look at, for a moment, let's look at James again, but let's back up a chapter to look at James chapter 1. And look at verse 22. And he says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving who? Your own selves. We are warned," what? This says here, we're warned not to be deceived, to be a hearer and not a doer. So we're being warned not to just be a hearer, but be a doer. Now, here's an interesting thought. Think about our society in general. And it's very easy for us to fall into this. Society is entertainment driven. We watch TV, we're entertained by TV, you get knowledge from TV, and we can sit and be entertained and informed and do nothing with it. And you can have a habit of, well, I'm just going to go in church and get information and be entertained and do nothing with it. So I'm not saying that's this group, but people have a habit of, they bring habits into the church. And they need to understand that we are being informed by the Word of God, but it's revelation that we want from God that causes faith to come. And then when faith comes, we're to do something with it so that we can grow thereby. But if you're coming to get nothing but be informed and excited and then do nothing, you're self-deceived. And that's what the Scripture's saying. The Scripture says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." What's the deception here? The deception is, because I know it, then I have it. And because I have it and I know it, I'm doing something with it. But you're not doing anything with it. That's the deception. That you think because you know it, you're doing something. But you're not doing something. That's the self-deception. James, these are some other translations. The Bible in basic English says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only of it, blinding yourselves with false ideas." So you can be blinded with your own false ideas that because I have this and I know it, I'm doing something with it, but yet you're not. See, if you're deceived, you think you're doing something when you're not. That's self-deception. Good News Translation, it says, "Do not deceive yourself by yourselves by just listening to the word. Instead, put it into practice." And the Worrell's translation says, "And become doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves." And that's, if you're deluded, that means you believe something that's not true. So you can be, you can be, if you're a hearer and not a doer. So something to be mindful of. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at verse 35. What I desire, my heart's desire, is that wherever we are in our faith walk, we take some steps to grow, to get some results. We take some little steps. If there's something that you're at a particular place and you desire something, what does it say? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So if there's something not seen in your life that you desire, then that's an area to grow in, whatever that is. How many have all the money they want? Okay, well, then that's my point. You got some growing to do. How many have unlimited funds? That's what I figured. No hands. So that means we can grow. How many in here, their bodies are functioning to the peak performance they'd like them to? Well, that's what I thought. So we have some growing to do. So there's some areas that we can grow in, and we can take and reach some things. And, you know, so often, you know, you hear stories, and even like Brother Hagin, he had holes in his shoes, hitchhiking, preaching prosperity. And you might think, well, that's kind of hypocritical. He believed God. He believed the Word of God. And his condition didn't dictate the Word of God or the results from the Word of God. So he began to take hold of the Word of God in that area and, be, as he said, began to come up. So wherever we are, we can come up a little higher. We can come up a little more. And so it's for each one of us, whatever that area is, if you're satisfied and you're doing all right, that's wonderful. But we can come up a little higher. And I dare say, if you've got all the money and you're satisfied and you got all the health you need, let me see. You walking in love to the degree that you need to. Now we can grow a little more. So there's something in our lives that we can say, I'm going to improve in this area, and I'm determined to grow in this area. If you're not determined to grow in that area, guess what? Nada. Nothing. You're a hearer and not a doer. You know, I'm thinking like Brother Hagin said, I'll set my goals high and get the half of them, or set them to nothing and get all of them. So we have to set them to something to get something. That means I'm determined to change. I'm determined not to be subject to the conditions in this earth. I'm going to walk in love greater. I'm going to treat my enemies right. I'm going to love those that hate me. And so when we do that, we're going to have opportunities to do that. And then that we may fall, we may miss it, but we're going to get up and keep moving forward. And the same thing where money's concerned. I'm convinced, I really am convinced, that when I began to make these professions of faith, things didn't change overnight, but they're changing. And they're continuing to change. And in a year from now, it'll be better. My bank accounts are full. I'm saying that by faith. I'd rather say that than, oh, woe is me. I'd rather say my bank accounts are full. I remember the Lord telling me, he said, if you will work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. That's a lot. That means unlimited. And so I can't complain if it doesn't come to fruition. He'll just say, what did you do with what I told you to do? And it's the same for all of us. We have to do something. We've got to step out, overcome fear, and just get out there and start decreeing by faith those things that we desire. You get to verse 35, chapter 10 in Hebrews, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your what? Confidence. Or you could say what? Cast not away, therefore, your faith. That's correct. Which has what? Great recompense of reward. That sounds like Hebrews 11:6 to me. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who come in faith. Verse 36, for you have need of what? Patience, that after you have done the what? The will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man does what? Draws back, or draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That doesn't sound good, does it? So in other words, that sounds like to me, Hebrews 11:6, for without faith, it's impossible to do what? To please him. So that means if I draw back and I cast aside my confidence or my faith, it says what? He says, my soul shall have no what? Pleasure. That sounds like nada, zero, no pleasure, not even a little pleasure, no pleasure. That's not good. Verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that what? Believe to the saving of the soul. So it's going to take faith to overcome fear, and it's going to take faith to step out. It's going to take faith to step out and touch some things that we can't see. Things that in the natural are impossible to have. You can't get it. You couldn't. You sit down there, you get your calculator out, you keep going through it, and you go, this it's not working. I can't get this in the natural. That's when faith steps in there, doesn't it? Faith takes hold of the impossible. Faith takes hold of the things you can't see. Anybody in here a business owner? In here, anybody has their own business? Nobody? Why not? Did you ever think about that? Okay, it got quiet here. All right. What is it? You don't want the trouble? You don't want that mess? You don't want that, huh? Hey, why not? Reach out. Grab some things that seem impossible. You know, you ever think about this? I remember when Oral Roberts was here, he said we ought to pray that God give us what? What did he say? Yeah. ICI. Just remember that, ICI. I remember if it was ideas, concepts, and insights, or insights, concepts, and ideas. Whatever it was, one idea from God could make you millions. One idea could make millions for you. Right? You wouldn't even have to think about it. Money. One idea. And so that's all I'm saying is that when we have, I'm not saying seek money, but what I am saying is reach out to God and say, I believe for witty ideas. I believe God gives me witty ideas and witty inventions and witty ideas and insights into things. Why not? Why shouldn't God's people come up with the ideas? If you read history, anybody ever hear of the inventor called Le Tourneau? He was a Christian. He was a Christian back around the time, during World War II. He invented the earth mover. He had over 300 inventions. He came up with the earth mover, that huge gadget that has a big scoop. You ever see it? It's a long gadget, has huge wheels, scoops dirt. He built that. He had that built. They said he came up with over 300 inventions that are patented. He came up with the electric wheel. He came up with all of these witty, crafty ideas. He was a Christian. He had on staff, he had his own pastor on staff that taught his staff. He was an uneducated man. And then if you read up on it, he created his own university, the Le Tourneau University, out in the Midwest. Yeah, Kenny, if you read about it, you hear about this guy. He was a Christian, and he believed God for witty ideas. Why not? Why not? Say, well, I'm 70. I'm over the hill. Really? Then so be it unto you. You're over the hill and creaky. If that's what you think and that's what you confess, that's what you will have. I have to retire. Well, then that's what you believe, that's what you will have. You see, but we need to get our mouths in order and get our thinking in order and be transformed so that we can be effective for the church, not only winning souls for Christ, but being a witness and an effective witness that supernatural ideas are working through me. I get up and he's thinking through me, giving me ideas. Right? So sometimes pressure and circumstances will cause us to do what? Just sit down and quit. And that can happen. You know, like we were singing this evening, sometimes burdens and pressures will cause us to do what? Give up and just sit down and not do anything. But God said what? Cast not therefore away your confidence. Don't cast it away. He said, because I'm not pleased with that. You know, when we go to, during the summertime, we go up with to Pastor Sam Smucker's church up in Lancaster. And this is a man, he's been pastoring for 30 plus years. And he was raised Amish. He was raised in the fields, no electricity, no cars. He was telling a funny story recently, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before last. They were doing a building dedication for Pastor Cantonese over near Ringwood, and I was over there in the evening. And he was talking about some of his experiences. And he said, when I'm out in the field, and he said, we had this huge hundreds and hundreds of acres, and we got two mules pulling a plow. And he said, now you'd think we'd have four or five of these little things to turn the dirt up. We had one. So we got to go up and down and up and down. And he said, I look over and I see a car going by. I said, I want me one of them. He wanted them. And so he said, you know, he was always a little, you know, a bit of a renegade growing up, and so was his dad. So they finally, you know, he got saved, and then the whole family got saved. But he was just talking about, you know, when I think about him and some of his experiences, he has a church of over 4,000 members. And this is out smack dab in the middle of Amish country. And they're reaching the Amish. And the men, and of course, that group of people up in that area. And when I think about it, this is just a what I call a country guy that has accepted the Lord and began to, you know, grow in faith. Of course, he's, you know, a graduate of Rhema, took hold of the word of faith and began to apply it and grew. And their church is growing and prospering. So it's the same here as we take hold of the word. And of course, he's had many opportunities to back off and to quit and sit down. But he kept pushing forward, and here's where he is. And it's wonderful to see. So if you look at, you know, just an example about backing off, we were talking about this in the beginning here. There was a delay in getting into the promised land, but that wasn't God's will, was it? It wasn't his will that it took 40 years of wandering around in the desert. Why did they do what happened? They had an evil report, and what did they do? They cast away their confidence. And so what happened? They had to wander around and never did get in, did they? They all died off. And the children got in, but they didn't. So we don't want to be lukewarm with some of our things, but it's going to take faith in God to manifest the power of God. And so those things that we desire, that we want to see, I'll just say it this way. When you come up against something, I don't care what it is, if you're on a job, you know, when I think about things that I walked through here in this ministry, working with Pastor Clinton, he would come up with things and I would sit there and go, okay, what are we going to do now? I had no idea. But I listened to the Holy Ghost. So you think, well, you know, we just, you know, learn some of these things overnight. No, this has been 30 years of listening and obeying. For me. Have I missed it? Yes. Have I missed it in some big things? Yes. But I've missed it less, and I've obeyed more. And so there's many things, you know, I'm thinking about ideas and creative ideas that the Holy Ghost would give me in the sound area to do things in productions that Pastor Clinton had years of experience. I had none. And I'm over the sound, and he's going to do a production, and I'm walking in going, okay, how are we going to do this? And as I set my hands to it and I looked to God for ideas, things would flutter up in my spirit and I'd go, wow, that's a, whew, I never thought of that. Who, boy, let's try it. And it would work. And idea after idea would work. I remember sitting one time sitting and Pastor Clinton was getting all of these songs service after service. And the Holy Ghost said to me, I knew it was the Holy Ghost, he said, I want you to take each one of these new songs and transfer them immediately after the service, put them on a cassette tape. And I started doing that. That's why I say, if whether you're staff, whether you're volunteering, whether you're working for a secular job, if you will ask God and look to him, he will give you witty ideas to help, be a help. That's why I say, I don't buy into this, I don't know. Well then, do the same thing I did. Get off your butt and ask God what to do. Don't always look for direction from me. I'm doing the best I can. So, you know, I don't mean to be harsh, but I remember sitting there and the Holy Ghost said that, and I started doing that service after service. And I got excited about it. And I started sharing it with Pastor Clinton. And he said, oh, wow, I forgot. See, he not even thinking about all of this. He said, I forgot what I sang. I forgot I was over in the spirit. I forgot the words. I don't remember the words. I don't even remember the tune. And I started archiving all of this. Not at his direction. The Holy Ghost's direction. And so what happened is he started to develop songs, write additional verses and lyrics, and began to produce albums. That's how that all came about. He didn't initiate it. He didn't even ask for it. It wasn't even on his mind. He was pastoring. And so the Holy Ghost had something in mind that he wanted to do. We all have a part to play if we will obey. And so I just share all of that, that what ended up happening was, if you go back, we have the original cassettes upstairs with the songs. A lot of them don't even sound like what's on the album. They were arranged. Some of them, the tempos were slower. They sped the tempos up. But when you think about blessed be the name of the Lord, that went around the world. He wasn't thinking about that. The Holy Ghost said, take these songs and put them on a cassette and then let him listen to them. Listening to the Holy Ghost. Listening. And so when I began to get more sensitive to hearing and doing, I knew his voice more clearly. That's how we learn. And so when you'd play music, you know, it wasn't like, well, let me see. I think I'll play this song. No, the Holy Ghost would lead me to play these songs that would minister. It wasn't eeny, meeny, let me pick a song. This feels good. No, it was being led and hearing him so that God could operate through those songs to minister to the people. You understand, you see the flow here. So it wasn't just serving, that was part of it, but God, just like a minister will get up and let God will use them to work through their spirit, people that set their hands to the tasks, when they hear God, everybody in concert works, every joint supplies. And we're all hearing and doing. See? So this is why it's important that when we run up against things that we can't physically do, or we don't have the mental wherewithal to do it or the capacity to do it, that's a great time to operate in faith. That's why sometimes, you know, when we look at where we are in society, and we're looking to government to supply our need, we wrong. Because what are you going to say to God when you get in front of him? He's going to say, why did you cast your confidence away and put it in government? Why did you do that? I have no pleasure in that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, you know, reap from things along that line, but let me ask this question. What if it gets to the place where the government turns around and says, no more tax credit? What you all going to do then? See, we shouldn't give for that purpose. So there's some things that our confidence needs to be in God and not in this world. So let's turn to Hebrews. We're look at the beginning of Hebrews and just look at some of the things here in some of the verses in Hebrews 11 when it talks about by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He's in the book of Hebrews 11, of this chapter. He did what? He offered. He did something. So he had to have done something in faith. He offered what? A more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God and he walked with God. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being what? Warned of God of things not seen as yet, he did what? He did something. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And you can read down, you can see, you can look at Abraham and Moses and so forth. And they did what? They did something. Moses' parents hit him. Moses forsook. What does it say? He said, when he was by faith, when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and so forth. And then you can go down and look at all of that. So they obeyed. They obeyed things that they knew, or they were in faith. They did something. They just weren't hearers, but they were doers. Now let's look at a few scriptures here. Let's look at Acts chapter 6 for a minute. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were, or what? What were they? They were obedient to what? To the faith. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for what? Obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So it's important that we're obedient to the faith. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, seeing you have what? Purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. So we can see here that it's important to obey. You can look, I'm just going to highlight these and then we can close, but the miracles that you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, they were in a response. This was a response or obedience to a faith command. So when you look at Mark 2, this is when the man with palsy, the four that came and dropped him through the roof, Jesus said to him at the end, he said, rise up, take thy bed, and walk. So he was given a faith command, and he had to do something. The man with the withered hand, he said, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched forth his hand and he was healed. Man with the crippled feet. This was in Lystra. He was impotent in his feet. He was crippled from his mother's womb. This was when he heard Paul speak. And he said, and Paul steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. He was given a faith command. And he could have, at that point, just parked and done nothing. And so when we get a faith command, when something comes into our heart, what do? We need to operate. We need to step out. And so often, we think that everything's going to change instantly. We're going to go from this point all the way over to completion in one step. Doesn't work that way. It's steps. As we go, we're healed. As we go, things begin to change. Now, there can be instant, but most times it's as we go, as we obey, as we operate in faith, things change. Things will correct. Things will change. Doors will open. Opportunities will be afforded us. Things will change as we obey. And that's a lesson, you know. I remember when I first started in the ministry here, I had some financial obligations that I was responsible for that I didn't create, but I was still responsible for. And I could not meet them with just this one job. So I'm working in the ministry here, and I said, well, oh no, I wasn't here. I'm sorry, I take that back. I was not working for the ministry. I was still working for a corporate job. And it wasn't enough to pay all these obligations off. But I was serving here. I was a member here. I was in the Ministry of Helps and so forth. And I remember I took a second job to kind of get my head above water and pay these obligations off. And I remember driving to that second job, and the Holy Ghost, I remember it like yesterday, said, I don't want you working this second job. I want you to go to Wednesday Bible study. That didn't go over too good with me. I'm thinking, how am I going to do that? I got all these bill collectors calling. Come on, are you kidding me? And I wrestled with that for a while, for about a week. And finally I said, okay, I know something. He knows something I don't know. I'm just going to obey. And as they say, step out, throw caution to the wind, and just go and do it. And so over time, it proved out that that was the right choice. And all the other obligations were met. All those things worked out. But he wanted me to grow in faith. He wanted me to get the word of God. Now, I could have made a choice not to. So all of us are going to have choices to make, whatever those choices are. And not saying it's going to be easy. But if we're going to grow, we're going to need to obey. We're going to need to obey his directions. And otherwise, we're going to stay right where we are and not grow. Amen. We can't, or as they say, if you fail the test, you got to repeat the class. I don't want to repeat the class again. I don't want to do that. I want to grow and move on. Amen. Don't we? Praise God. Amen. Amen. So how many are determined to grow a little more? How many are determined to select something, one thing in your life that you're saying, you know what? I don't like it right here, right now. I want to move forward. I'm going to move forward, whatever that is, and grow. And I can tell you, when you make that choice, there may be some resistance, because your adversary doesn't want to see you grow. He doesn't want to see you produce more fruit for God and be more productive. So when we make a choice that we're going to grow, be prepared for some resistance. Be prepared for that. And when it comes, know, okay, I'm on the right track. Yes, sir. That dude is defeated. He's defeated. And all it is a bunch of noise to discourage you, get you to do what? Lay down and quit. But we're not those that cast away our confidence. I'm going to move forward. Amen.